The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Judeo-Christian ethic has provided the principles upon which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government and society, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Good day, America. Welcome, Christians, conservatives, constitutionalists, liberals, libertarians, communists, Islamists, LGBTQRSTV, WXYZ people, all the boat rockers in the house, and anybody else I may have missed, to the Sons of Liberty radio show here on Red State Talk Radio, where we use the Bible and the Constitution, not to see who's on the right or the left, but who is on the straight and narrow. I'm your host, Tim Brown, coming to you live from the U.S. occupied state of South Carolina, the editor at sonsoflibertymedia.com, and for Muslim friends, I'm the infidel that Allah warns you about. I hold to the book, the Bible, as the authoritative word of God. Glad that you guys have joined us this morning. If you'd like to check us out online, please do so. sonsoflibertyradio.com and also sonsoflibertymedia.com. In fact, if you're listening by way of the radio and you want to watch the video portion of the radio show, that's right, you can see the face that's made for radio. Head over to sonsoflibertymedia.com. There you're going to see two videos at the top of the page. One on the left side is Bradley's show from yesterday. So if you missed that and you'd like to catch it, you can do so up until 3 p.m. Eastern today, at which time he'll be live in that little area for 2 hours this Saturday. So you got him for 2 hours today. And then on the right side of the page is where we're at. Click on the play button, blow it up on whatever device you got. Look for the Rumble icon, bottom right-hand corner. Click on that and you can join us in the chat on Rumble. A lot of friends there this morning. Good morning. Good to see you guys. And while you're there, please subscribe to the channel. It's Sons of Liberty Radio Live. Sons of Liberty Radio Live on Rumble. And I believe that you can get to that right here. sonsoflibertymedia.com, top of the page, right there on the menu. SOL Radio Live takes you right to the channel if you want to go there and subscribe as well. And then also we're on beforeitsnews.com, top of the page over there. And then finally, right up under where we're streaming live, you can sign up for our email newsletter. That is all of the articles we put out for the day, including the morning show archive. That goes out late afternoon, early evening, so you guys are all set for that. Now, I told Kate, she has been caring for a daughter. You guys have been praying for them and things, and I think things are getting better. She is really, really tired, so we're just going to keep her to the hour today so she can get done what she can done and get some rest. But I do, there's two things here I wanted to do, and I told her one of them I'm going to do based off of yesterday. But before we do that, we do have a birthday girl today. I saw it in the chat. Little Grace Heikla. You know what that means? That means that Elvis has entered the building. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Grace. Happy birthday to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. There we go. And happy birthday, Grace. 14 years. Oh, you've lived a lifetime. Nothing better, though, than getting to go out with Dad, honey. That sounds fine. That sounds like a lot of fun. Happy birthday, Grace. Here's something that you guys asked about yesterday. I played you, parts of the video. You guys who wanted to see the whole thing, that's in the archive, sonsoflibertymedia.com. You can find it based off yesterday's show on the National Sheriff's Association's letter that we talked about. So I went back and dug out. This guy's name was Stephen Lara. This is the latest that I found. This comes from Institute for Justice. The latest I found on Stephen, I thought I would give it to you so you guys would know what was going on. Because this was back in like 2018. Is that what it was? No, it was like 2018 that took place. What you saw yesterday where they took this guy's almost $100,000. Okay, he filed a lawsuit in August of 2021 for Stephen, the Marine who was, had highway robbery committed against him by the Nevada Highway Patrol and the DEA. So we found out that he got his money back with interest but he's got two lawsuits that are still sitting there. See, this guy understands it's not just, oh, you're going to give me my money back and some stuff here. Somebody's got to be held accountable because you're probably not just doing this to me. You've probably done it to a bunch of people, and I'll guarantee you they have. This is what IJ.com report on this. It said, in August 2021, we filed a lawsuit on behalf of Marine veteran Stephen Lara, whose life savings were seized in a bogus roadside stop by the Nevada Highway Patrol, which then handed the money over to the federal government in an illegal end run around Nevada's forfeiture laws. Rather than answer the lawsuit, the government successfully asked the court to stay the case while Nevada Supreme Court considered a different case that asked whether people could sue for damages directly under the Nevada Constitution when their rights are violated. Well, of course they can. This is how you hold them accountable. Oh, my goodness. The case that flew under the radar, which was Mack versus Williams, and came to the Nevada Supreme Court through a circuitous route, rather than bemoan the unnecessary delay in our Nevada civil forfeiture case, the team recognized that the speed bump provided a golden opportunity both to defend our client's interest and to advance principles at the heart of IJ's project on immunity and accountability. Just a second here. As the federal courts have been retreating from providing remedies against violations of the U.S. Constitution by federal officials, IJ has been fighting for states to move in the opposite direction and give robust constitutional remedies to their citizens. But Nevada's high courts had not yet decided whether the state's constitution guaranteed citizens the right to seek damages against state government officials who violate their rights. Now the government was asking the Nevada Supreme Court to hold the state constitution did not, and that victims of constitutional violations would instead have to hope that the Nevada legislature would create such a right. They don't create rights. Rights come from God. So when somebody has done you wrong, you have a right to seek restitution on that. Okay? That is a God-given right, and that's part of God's law. So getting the guy's money back and, you know, a little extra on top of it, that's part of God's law. It then goes, the Nevada civil forfeiture team sprang into action, promptly filed an amicus brief, asking the court to hold both the Nevada Constitution guaranteed a right to seek damages for constitutional violations and that defenses like qualified immunity did not apply to those suits. When the court heard the case in May 2022, the IJ team participated directly, providing the bulk of the oral argument on behalf of IJ itself and Mr. Lara, Stephen. The Nevada Supreme Court issued its opinion in late December, completely vindicating IJ's position. The court held that when Nevada government officials violate the rights against unreasonable search and seizure guaranteed by the state constitution, the victims can sue for damages. The court's logic should readily extend to Nevada's entire Declaration of Rights, and to boot, the court rejected qualified immunity for these claims. Good for them. Good for them in doing that. That's Nevada, of all places. My goodness. Communism in Nevada is what it smacks of. It really does. The court's ruling paves the way to vindicate constitutional rights both in Nevada and nationwide. In Nevada, the ruling ensures that our client Stephen's case can go forward. See, he's still doing it even though he's got his money. And that all Nevadans will have a remedy when the government violates the state constitution. The victory also provides an important precedent for IJ to cite to other states and blah, 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 and all these things. So Stephen got his money back. He got some form of interest, which, you know, again, the Bible would allow for the return of the property plus something that has been imposed on them by the judge in the case. That's how they made restitution. They didn't go to jail. They made actual restitution to the person they harmed, not to the state, but to the person they harmed. And so that's a good thing. I think his lawsuits here are to actually hold these individual police officers accountable because their activity was criminal. And you watched it. You saw it. And they did it with a smile saying, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Can I take your other stuff? Can I haul your car off for you? Can I steal your dog? Can we have your children? I mean, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. That's the way they behaved. And this was, I think, again, 2018. He's still doing it. We're going into 2024. So you guys asked about, you know, what happened with this guy. I'm sorry I could not see the chat, because if I'm doing the monologue, I'm barely seeing a comment or something. So I read after. So I wanted to let you guys know I did look that up. Hopefully that's helpful for you in understanding that this guy didn't let it go and he's still not let it go. Okay. All right. But it's Saturday and, you know, you guys have been praying for Kate and for her children and we appreciate that very much. Praying with us, not for us, for them, but with them. Because again, we shouldn't be asking people to pray for us. We are supposed to be praying for ourselves, right? But to pray with us. And so we've been doing that and brought Kate on. She's a little weary today, so we're going to keep her to the hour, okay? But I'm going to give her as much time to talk about what's went on and the things she wants to focus on here, because what went on that she's had to deal with in the past week, it can be a very disturbing kind of thing. But Kate's handled it and got some things kind of under control now. And Kate, good morning. It's good to see you.
Hi, good morning. I'm just going to say yet again, I'm full of snot. In both. But do not be thinking, oh, it's because you're not healthy. It's just where I was, I ate some things and lack of sleep. And that's all it is. And it's just a detox. And then I've got my dog bothering me now. I have TNT on a Saturday live on. And so I had to get up at 5. Just to let everyone sort of know, you know, we all talk about COVID and the governments and everything else. And really the things that are going to affect us, we're not going to be expecting. They're going to come on mine came on a Thursday afternoon and sideblinded me. And it was one of my children, and was subsequently, I've got carrot juice, subsequently given, some terrible news. Nelly, come here. Sorry, Nelly just wants to be on the show.
That's okay. We'll get her a song too.
So she's looking really like, come on.
That's
come
her
on.
Song.
So she's got her nails all nice. Look.
Oh, Lord.
So, yeah, so she was... in the National Homicide Service, so she was told to come home, and then nobody knew who that was that phoned her, and then I had to go to the hospital. It's been a while since I've worked in a hospital, and I'm not going to lie. I know there's a lot of you nurses out there that are good and you're trying to do your best, but I really don't know what's happened. First of all, half of you would have been sacked in my day for just being unkempt, basically. I just find it really slovenly. The way you're dressed, your hair, whatever. I don't care about diversity. Uniform is for a reason. And you're supposed to be semi-professionals. I really don't care about everybody's, well, it's diversity, you know, expressing yourself. No. It's supposed to all look the same. I don't want to see all your bits and bobs on you. Anyway, I go into the place and they're serving what is in a hospital? I mean, candies, crisps, fizzy drinks. That's what was in the shop for the patients to have. Then a load of toiletries they could buy. It's all toxic garbage. I had to go to the ward. Actually, it's got more security than probably a concentration camp. I couldn't get out at one stage. I got locked in. I go in and I go to where my child is and, I walk into the room and the windows are closed. The room is stuffy. So they've been closed ever since she arrived, and she'd arrived the day before. And she was flat on the bed with a big puffy face, and she should have been nursed upright. They had just gone to her at 4 o'clock in the morning and given her, just because she happened to ask, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And no one's told me what's wrong with me. I've just been told I had to come home. She'd had this needle biopsy. And then they just hit her with this diagnosis. And
did they diagnose her with?
Mediastinal non-Hodgkin's lymphoma B. And I got her out of bed, into the bathroom, and then I fixed her bed. It's an electric bed, pulled it upright. I actually did say to the nurse, that bed's not to be down. She's to be upright. And then the swelling went then, her puffiness in her face went. And anyway, the system is something else. It's this whole straight into, they just believe you're going to do what they say, that you'll just do it. You won't question. And of course, she'd always said, I would never do chemo. And she doesn't want to do it. And she said she felt bullied and pressured. So she said anything in the end to get out. They wanted her to sign a form to consent to it. So when she comes later, she wouldn't have to do the form. Really? She asked to see the bloods and they did eventually let me look. And I said, this needs doing. She asked for the biopsy. We've not had any of it. We've not had all of the doctors that we've shown it to in Italy, in Iran, in London. They all keep saying, well, where's the biopsy? Where's the histology? Where's this report? We need those. And we've tried for days to get them. We can't. So she's come home and she doesn't want to be in their outpatient care at all. And, she's getting a second opinion and everything else. So we brought her home and there was a load of other stuff that went on as well that I can't go into. But, she said, I'll tell you a little bit. She started to fill me in on bits, which I'm totally disgusted at the level of ignorance. The hematologist had bits of nail varnish on each finger. It's an absolute no-no to have nail varnish on because of washing your hands and bits of nail varnish as well. And when I wanted to absolutely ensure that she was, for resuscitation, I turned the screen around and I saw everybody's name, every patient in there.
Yeah, let people know that. But this is the stuff, Kate, that you were telling me, stuff that you went in there and you found out about this, and they turned it around where you could see all the patients that were along that hallway, and you said 2/3 of them.
Yeah, most of them were do not,
as
most
do not resuscitate.
Most of them were do not resuscitate.
Incredible.
Most of them had the red do not resuscitate, and then she said to me, they woke her up with tea. They woke her to ask if she wanted a cup of tea. You don't wake a sleeping patient who's been up most of the night, who's been taking bloods all night, for a cup of tea. And I said, what is this? And it was white sugar and milk. The food was incredibly atrocious. But they don't know. The doctors... They don't know. There was a really, really lovely nurse who was very beautiful and slim. And she actually said, oh, I live on pizza and donuts. And then she said she ran. She says, that's why I can eat the pizza and donuts. No, you can't. That's not food that's fueling your body. And eventually you're going to get sick. And I think as health educators, why would anybody say that's what they do when they're in a ward that has cancer patients in it? It's full of cancer patients. They shouldn't be eating any of that. But it's straight onto drugs. So she didn't really understand what was going on. And she just said, I just wanted to get out of there. So they prepped her for chemotherapy. They were said they prepped her. When I saw the level of what they use of steroids, I was really shocked.
Yeah, let people understand that, because it's not, you had specifically said she needs this, this, and this, and they were agreeing with you, they were going to do it, you were barking out the orders, and then you come back, what was it, the next day or the day after?
No, they said they can't, we weren't to be given any more results.
But they come back right back, and she's already told them she doesn't want chemotherapy, they're prepping her with that, with certain types of things they're shooting in her, and you come in and find out they've shot her up with steroids and some other things.
Well, they said to me they were going to give her a low dose of steroids. When I saw the dose, it was massive. And she said there was another thing had gone in. She says, oh, they're taking my bloods every 2 hours. I went, what? What is that? What are they giving you? And then there was Fragmin, which is just an anti-clotting.
Well, I mean, it sounded, when you were explaining it to me, it sounds like they deliberately were doing things they should not be doing.
Well, you know what?
This they're saying what has this kind of cancer.
So she's, and then they've got another drug just in case. Oh, that's just the protocol to prep them. And I said, but she hasn't made her mind up yet. that she's going to do it. And as she was leaving, I actually heard the doctor on the phone, because she kept me on speakerphone, say, who's bringing you back in 2 weeks? Well, we've already started your treatment. And then they've hounded her, and she does say she feels very, very pressured. So she's, you know, we are now doing lots of things behind the scenes that I will let you know. But she said, I don't want to do that treatment. I don't want to do it. I would have never have done that. I said, okay, we need all these results, which we do. We need them all. And they said, well, the next doctor can request them. It's very cloak and dagger. And it was very, she said, they weren't very nice, and I didn't want to say no in case they wouldn't do my scans. I went, don't worry about any of that. Don't worry about it. I mean, her dad's over from Iran and Germany now. And I mean, I haven't seen him close up in person in just under a decade. He arrived, he's here, it's great. I'm glad he's here. And, you know, we're sorting it out together. And, but we're now having to go through the process of second opinions. And we don't want her to have some of those tests again, because it's not good for her to do that. Now, she only had one symptom of this disease, one symptom. And I couldn't quite get my head around it. And so this doctor had said, oh, we found a few cells. And and every doctor I'm talking to, they're going, there's something not quite on here. And I said, well, you know, sometimes I'm going to say, I'm not saying this is in my daughter's case, but I'm going to say this does happen. When you have drug trials going on in hospitals and you get someone in, it's great if they're young, because they'll withstand possibly the treatment. And then if you get somebody alive at the end of it, or it shows results, it gets its license. So my daughter said, what's my survival at 2, 5? She's definitely my daughter. She's been listening. 2, 5, 7, and 10 years. If I do your treatment. And the doctor said, well, we can't answer that because these are new drugs. Well, what? If you can't answer that and they're new drugs.
And you want me to put that in my body? You want me to be your guinea pig? Isn't that what's going on?
And that's an experiment, isn't it? That means you're the trial.
So that's exactly right.
Exactly. Did they tell her that? So as they kept asking what my name was, and I said, you don't need my name. They said, are you medical? I said, it doesn't matter what I am, but I understand. Are you legal? It doesn't matter. I said, I understand law and ethics. And I said, I'm not going to tell you my name. You don't need to know my name. And then you can't prejudice. And she said, oh, we would never do that. I said, come on, we both know that's a lie. Anyway, the point is, they kept going in my daughter's room several times to ask her what my name was. Which, why did they need to do that?
Well, let's get that, because, you know, we've talked about taking control in the face of the beast system. And this right here, what you're talking about, the when you saw the do not resuscitate thing, you're going in there, and even though your daughter's right there and she's affirming that, you know, you have power of attorney, so to speak, there, right there.
That's
to
it.
Yeah, to speak there right in front of the doctors and nurses. She's affirming that. They keep acting like you're not in the room, but they want to know who you are. And this is one of the things that you were telling me, that people need to understand that of the power of power of attorney, so that they can put that in place, because of the tactics they're using in the hospitals. Ultimately, we already know what that's for. It's to get funding.
The way they're doing some of this stuff. When I said it to the doctor, he said, do you have that in writing? I went, you don't need it in writing. You've heard me say it in front of my daughter, and she's acknowledged it. But, you know, there was another little caveat in there with other people interfering. They wanted her to stay and have treatment, and they went and spoke to the doctors. But that doesn't matter. That's all out the window now. But the point is, she's a young girl, 23 and 22, and they are literally you know, they said, well, what alternative treatment would you do? What would you do? And she said she didn't like the way they said it. It's none of their business. Plus, they're not trained in any of it. And, you know, they moved us to another room. They didn't put the bed up. I did it again. Just, she didn't have an ID tag on. The whole time she was there, she had no ID bracelet. You have to have an ID bracelet when you're in a hospital. She kept saying to them, I don't have an ID bracelet. How on earth were they taking bloods? Doing drugs without checking her ID band? That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to check that that corresponds with the notes, corresponds with what the patient tells you. So, you know, the whole thing, I was absolutely, utterly disgusted. Nurses were all wearing masks because they're told they have to. Doctors weren't. So I said, why are you wearing masks and the doctors aren't? And this, she was a lovely trainee. She was a really lovely woman, actually. It was definitely a vocation for her. She was training. She said, we wear it because it's the law. And of course, it isn't the law. She says, but I don't know why they're not wearing them. They should. And yet, you know, you've got lots of people coming in and out, and on the nurse's station, a great big bucket of candy for the nurses, and all the patients can see it. And oh my word, it raised every single flag in me that could have possibly been raised. And they then said, we'd like to move you to a hospital miles away for young people. This is the bit that I really don't like about the whole industry. And she said, no, I don't want to go there. I'd be away from my family, my friends, and I'd be isolated. I don't want to go there. Oh, we'll get the nurse to ring you anyway to chat to you. You might want to. No, she didn't want to. And the nurse texted her, rang her. Then you've got a nurse saying, you know, would you like to have some counselling? You've had a shock. You know, how to navigate your way through the illness. You know, a lot of, you'll be around other people that have got, you know, cancer. And you can go on to forms. Really? She said, I don't want to talk about illness and disease, and I don't want to do that. And I said, well, just block, tell them they can only email you and block them. So that it's this whole thing, this whole getting you all, it's an industry.
But let's talk about something else that's going on with that too, because I said, well, why can't, you know, if they're hounding her on the phone, why doesn't she just tell them, look, quit calling me. I've already given you an answer. If you call me again, I'll consider it harassment. And you said they can come back in and actually get some kind of judge to declare some kind of defunct kind of thing that she's out of her mind, she's incompetent or whatever, and they can come and get her and do what they want to her.
Yeah, that's right.
What is that all about?
You have to be really careful because anyone who's got children or who's got young adults, a new power of attorney, they can overturn that at any minute. You know, they might say the patient doesn't have capacity. So they're going to act in the best interest, and you aren't. We've seen that during COVID, where lots and lots of disabled Down syndrome that lived in assisted living.
Well, we've seen it a lot in your country there anyway. Now, I'm sure there's probably some things here over in the States as well, but we've seen it in your country as well with these little kids when they have an opportunity to take them somewhere else outside of England.
They don't let them.
And they won't let them go. It's just absolutely crazy.
They remove their feeding tubes, yeah. Their ventilators. Yeah, they kill them rather than let them go.
Yep.
I don't know what those two thumbs are. This computer just likes.
It liked what you said there.
Yeah. So they move them and they take away all their. So in effect, they don't say, well, we'll let them go. The judge takes over and says, no, that's cruel. You know, with no, it's just terrible. So that's what they did during COVID. You know, patients who had next power of attorneys, there was a Down syndrome young man in his early 20s. He said, I don't want to have the vaccine. But they were trying to take power of attorney off his brother so they could force it through court. Another girl that I helped, whose daughter was in, she was in a care place. She had to be. And she's in her early 20s. And in the end, you know, Professor Dolores Cahill, Dave Cartland, I got involved in the beginning. They got involved. They were actually in the case in the court. They fought the courts all the way because they wanted to inject her. That's what they wanted to do. Even though the mother didn't want a daughter to have it, they were going to say that the daughter wasn't acting in the best interests as next of kin and power of attorney. So they take it away. There were cases in America actually where older teenagers didn't, you know, like, 15, 16, 17, didn't want to have chemo. And that same was ruled on them and they were sedated, handcuffed, and it was
forced. Yeah, we've covered some of those stories where the state goes in and they take even the teenagers and they'll put them through those things. And you're just, I got to tell you, man, I'm a Southern guy here. And when I read that stuff, it infuriates me. And I sit here and think, is Dad not armed to stop this? I'm going to tell you, that's what, to me, That's why you have the right to keep and bear arms, Americans. Men, it isn't for your target practice. It isn't for your, you know, you like to have a good time at the range. It's to defend and to get secure free state. And if they can, if they can come in and take your daughter from you and put them through some kind of medical experiment that you know is bad for them, and you're unwilling to interpose yourself.
That's exactly what happened in America. Exactly what happened. So I think you have to be, you know, so we have to make sure, as all of us, we all have to have power of attorneys, next of kins, and living wills. All of us need to get that. We all need to do that for ourselves and for anyone that's over 18. We have to do that. And we haven't done it. Most people haven't done it. I've got a will for myself, but because unfortunately we don't expect the worst. We're looking at the New World Order and the World Economic Forum. But the things that are really going to have an impact on you are the things that come on a, you know, a Thursday afternoon and you get sideblinded.
Yep. Yep.
Then you have to pull out all the stops to get everything together, to get, you know, power of attorney, living wills. You have to get everything in place. And there's always lots of other stuff to do as well. So, you know, for me, I'll do whatever she wants and whatever she wanted, even if it was something I would never do. If that's what she wanted, I would explain to her, I would make sure she knew everything, which is what I did, which is why she must have said. And you know what? Oh, I'm going to test this. Obviously, I'm not saying her name, but they said to her, we need to give you your COVID booster because you're vulnerable. And of course, she's not had any.
You're vulnerable. Let us just go ahead and help you on through to the other side.
Just giving you massive doses of steroids, and we're just giving you blood thinners, and we've just given you another drug that's all going through your liver.
Now, what did you find? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
She said, no, I'm not having the COVID booster. In fact, I've not had any of them. And the doctor said, oh, why? So she said, well, according to the government website, and she went through it all, this, and this, and I'm not at risk and all the rest of it. And that shot causes clots, causes this, it's been found. And this consultant, that's the top, she said, oh, no, but they fixed it now. No, they haven't. Why is she lying? So she's actually just spouted it as, because she's listened to it, it's all right now. So my daughter says, I'm not having them and it's not up for discussion. I'm not prepared to discuss it with you. So this is the young girl in there with all these doctors around. You know, it's very overwhelming and they want you to make, they said, we're not in any hurry, but we need you to make your decision quickly about this treatment. We need to prep you.
What else happened with regard to remdesivir too? That came into play in there as well, didn't it?
No, no, that's something else, but I'm going to tell you that.
Okay.
The other thing is, you know, all these young people having this treatment and being rushed through it, they send them for fertility, for egg, you know, to save their eggs or bits of ovaries or save their sperm first. I can tell you as a woman that went through fertility treatment, it can be very dangerous taking your eggs. Your ovaries can overstimulate and you can end up in hospital care and at risk of dying. How do I know? Because I ended up in hospital with my first, because I had, I think it was 32, it was a lot of embryos, a lot of eggs all at once, and I had distension and but the other thing is it puts your estrogen through the roof because that's how they stimulate the eggs. What makes tumors grow? Estrogen. Absolutely. So I thought, what the hell? And that was straight away the day out. They ring you, everybody dead. All the referrals are done quickly because this is a lot of money we're talking about. Talking about remdesivir, this is very, very important. Now, I just want to tell, so that's basically in a nutshell. My daughter's already, she's going for second opinions. Hopefully, we'll get some more bloods done, but she started juicing, changed her diet. Thank you to Fabia Zolfi, from Zero Spike, who graciously sent us lots of products. Also, the B17 people, John, what's John's surname? He's been on the show. It's been on your show.
Oh, Richardson,
Tim. John Richardson, sorry, I'm really tired.
Yeah, I was supposed to have him on. We were supposed to do something yesterday, just so people understand. I was supposed to do something with him yesterday or Thursday to play on yesterday's show, and I missed the date. He had to reschedule the first time I ever did it, so we're going to get him on next week for the talk about Griffin's book. It's been 50 years since he put out World Without Cancer, and we're going to kind of highlight that. So just letting everybody know.
Yeah, that book as well was one of the books that saved my life.
Yep.
And when I shook and gave him a hug, G. Edward Griffin, that was something else. But look, you know, John's company pulled out all the stops, and, you know, I think there was 400 people ready for an order to be shipped, and they literally put mine at the top and it was out. And I ordered masses. And obviously I'd be selling it, but they went, you just don't worry about paying it now, just pay it later, whatever. They got it here so quick. Big thank you to Andrew. He knows who he is. Big legal man. He's fabulous. He pulled out all the stops and sent me all his thing that we needed. We'll do a show on melatonin and the studies, how it shows big doses it stops tumors growing. So a lot of people, Simone Plough, wonderful, 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 wonderful. She was the one who actually uncovered something. Catherine as well. I fell down the stairs yesterday, which our daughter was fast asleep, which was quite entertaining. I went on every stair on the way on my back. So I don't know which bit hurts more today, but it was almost like I've got the pain in the same place at one place. I said it was sympathy, but she said we're fighting for sympathy. It's really funny. But so, you know, D. Manny Mitchell, D. Manny Mitchell's been on here. You all know her, so I don't need to say it on air. But yeah, we've got D. Manny Mitchell involved, so you know what that entails. So it's been an interesting last night.
Yes, midnight hymn singing is what it involves.
I told
right?
you over. Yeah, so look, she was crying with the pain, and she'd not had that before. But when we did what we did and followed Dr. Max, Dr. Patrick Vickers as well has been a great help. When we did what we were meant to do, the pain went completely. And I was just tender. So it's quite remarkable. Sasha Stone, thank you for sending me a device that emits frequencies. It's about $800. I'd already got that. He gifted that to me. So nebulizers, she's coughing 3% food grade, one part to 10 parts distilled water. Well, it's sodium chloride, but we just put a bit of salt in it. Okay. Himalayan salt. It stops her coughing, stops her pain, stops her coughing. Why is that? She did tell me that she'd been exposed to loads of black mold. So, you know, we're right on it. And we did have a bit of a giggle. You know, I said, all the times you've laughed at me over the decades, 12 years, coffee enemas and everything else. And here we are, honey. You know, you're juicy, you're doing all this, but we're on it. So look, we'll go, and I'll keep everyone updated at what she's doing. And
you know what? It's a good thing, I think, the Lord gives you that time to care for her again, because of how things have been. I think the Lord has this sense of humor of just, I'm going to do it this way, and then I'm going to bring it together. And, you know, I'm looking for good things to come out of that for you guys' relationship, too.
Yeah, well, it already has.
That's wonderful. Praise the Lord.
My ex-husband's in the house. They've not seen us together forever.
Well, I want to put this in.
It's been really nice chatting to him. And he bought me out duty free. He bought a 120-pound bottle of 20-year-old single malt to him.
That's good. That's good.
So if you're watching, Vicky, what about that, Em?
You know, the scripture talks about these things, and you're talking about people being prudent, seeing what's going on, and then putting certain things in place. And, you know, scripture talks about this. Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believeth every word." We could put whatever you're told by the mockingbird media and your pimping politicians pushing big pharma's, you know, sorceries. You're a person who believes every word, right? But the prudent man looketh well to his going. And then, you know, Proverbs is full of these proverbs about the prudent. This is another one. A prudent man foreseeth the evil, and this is what we talk about, and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. And again, you know, you kind of go back to what we were saying here at the first, and that is what we've seen over the past couple of years is you see the ones that are referred to as simple. And I don't think it means that you're a simple kind of man or a simple kind of woman. It means you're simple-minded in the sense that you can be easily manipulated, easily controlled, because you don't have any knowledge to question. You just say, well, you guys must know what's going on. And this is where real education comes in. Education comes in as to get that filter. I was thinking this morning, you know, as you do a slow drip, as one preacher used to say, of putting the word out each day, just little drips of the word every day, And that takes hold in our hearts. And it's the washing of the water of the word. As the scripture says, we talked about that last week or this week. And as you're doing that, there are changes that you see there. Well, the same thing happens here. As you're doing that, you have a filter to see what's going on. And you're talking about, here's the evil that we're seeing. We're seeing their schemes. We're uncovering their evil ways of what they're doing in the hospitals through the pharmaceuticals and everything else. And now we're examining that in the truth and the light of what Scripture says, and then bringing a solution to bear upon it. Not sitting here complaining about it. I mean, we can do that. We can point out the problems as we should do. But there's got to be solutions to these things. So some of this, what you're talking about with power of attorney, is a big deal. This is, you know, and I've had people say stuff about me just because of my sickness of the week. I've never said that doing any of these things is just going to keep you tip top healthy. But I can tell you this. I do know that you feel a lot better. I know that you have a lot more clear thinking. And I do know that it affects other parts of your body, your sleep, all this other, when you do the things that you should do on a regular basis as far as what you're putting in your body and stuff. So I know those things do affect. And so then when you do get quote unquote sick, or you're detoxifying, whatever the case, however you want to pronounce or say that, then you understand what it's doing. It's, you're ridding your body of bad things, of toxins, and that's a good thing. And so you don't fall into the despair of, I'm just sick and this, that, and the other. When I had it the other week, Kate will tell you, I could barely talk or anything. I mean, it was really painful. But once I found out what it was, and we started doing the supplements here and drinking all the water, cleared it right up. So these things are very important, I think, in preparation for what they're doing, because we already know they're hitting us with bioweapons, not only in shots, but even in our food, our water, and in the air.
Yeah, we are. It's in everything. And in the UK, we have bigger, when you think how much bigger America is than the UK, we have the largest end-of-life figures out of all the countries. We kill the most in end-of-life care. It is exactly the same as what is happening now is what happened in Nazi Germany. You know, it began in the 1920s, and by 1933, you'd got midwives being paid 4 Reichmark and nurses to dob in, basically, as Stuart calls it, to say, oh, there's a disabled baby born there, or there's an epileptic lives there. And those children were murdered with a concoction of drugs, even scopolamine, which is used like hyoscine to dry up your secretions. They gave them massive doses. It makes you forget as well. Everything repeats. So they started with the babies, then the children, the adolescents, the adults. They killed them. Anyone that was old, vulnerable, or disabled, they were killed. Excuse me. Now we have that we've just found out that the politicians in the UK have lied to the Brits, and they've been setting up, instead of the NHS, the integrated care system based on the American models. And what actually happened in America, if you look at remdesivir, which is what, a couple of thousand or $3,000, with a 54% fatality rate. But you had budesonide, which only costs just over $30 or pounds. I can't remember which thing, but it doesn't matter. It's a lot less. And they had 100% recovery in one ITU, and then the others, it was, you know, over 98%, et cetera. They won't use that. So it's a lot cheaper, but they won't use it, and it's safer. But what they did in America with remdesivir, they said if the hospitals used it for every patient, they would get 20% on all the other drugs that they purchased from them. So that means that as the insurances were coming in to pay the invoices for these patients, the hospital was getting 20% discount on these drugs. But they weren't giving that discount to the patient or to the insurance companies. So they made so much money in America. So much money by making sure everybody was on remdesivir. And that's what you're going to see here. It's pharmaceutical companies that are going to run the healthcare system. They're going to tell you what can be used, regardless of whether that's bad or good, but it's not going to be good. They're going to tell you what can be used and what must be used. So it won't be, well, I'm going to treat that patient with this as better. No, you've got to use this drug. This is all you can use. So this is what we're seeing. So when I went in and I saw associate doctors, nurse associate, I just saw the whole system. This is it. It's population triage. And depending on what you are worth, how many comorbidities you've got, how much tax you pay, it's going to determine with your number when you check in, you know, into the system. It's going to come out with your treatment plan and they're going to deliver it. And for most people, that's not going to be a good outcome. Now, so I don't want to finish always on bad things. And listen, don't be thinking that I'm some sniveling, groveling wreck in the corner. When the going gets tough, listen, I get going with Gatling guns under each armpit. I'm literally like G.I. Jane. Don't ever. My friends will tell you, when something's going down, you really need me on side, because I'm like, shut up! Everyone shut up! I need to think.
Well, this is what we talk about. Is we talk about, instead of running from the fight, you run to it. And that's
I'm like, get me out of here.
Yeah, that's the difference of what's going on here. So we've got a question in here, and it's one we've dealt with, I think, before in the hydrogen peroxide, but they wanted to confirm if it's 3% hydrogen peroxide, and I'm going to say it's food grade hydrogen peroxide, and salt for nebulizing for chronic cough of years and poor lung function. I know when I use it, I do about like a half and half thing of the 3% water with a little Himalayan salt in it.
Yeah, it should be sodium chloride. So okay. I use distilled water and a pinch of Celtic sea salt. But okay. I followed Dr. Mercola's, which was with my daughter's consent, and it was one part food grade 3% hydrogen peroxide, and I think he says 10 parts water. So I ended up using 20 parts water to 0.2 mils of that. And I did it for 5 minutes. Obviously, if you've got any medical conditions, please do go to your indoctrinated doctor. If you're taking any medication, please do go and speak to your doctor. Don't do anything on here that I've chose to do. This is just for entertainment purposes and cartwheeling around your living room. So Dr. Mercola, that is what he stipulates, but that's what I chose to do for myself as well. Because of mold, when people have been around black mold a lot, all the spores, you've been breathing it in. A good nebulizer, you can buy them off. You can buy them off the devil's tool off Amazon for 50 bucks. Yep. You should always have one in your house. Always have one. Always make sure you've got these things. Don't wait till you're sick and then you wait for it to arrive. And when people go, I can't afford it. If you always say, I can't afford it, you never will. What you have to say is, I can afford it and it's coming. You get a jar and you put your $5 in, you put your shillings in, whatever you've got, you keep shoving it in, you keep shoving it in. Every time you've got some change, shove it in. You will, or put it in and don't touch it. And unless you are destitute, but I guarantee if you put it in, you won't touch it. If you keep going, oh, I'll get one day, it'll never come. So you need a power of attorney, a living will. Every household should have a nebulizer, every single household. So we've done that. And we've done a lot, but you know, they're bringing this in. They're showing you they're bringing it in. You've got some senator in America that's saying to all the illegal immigrants, if you join the military, you know, then you say you'll be allowed to stay, and you'll be given your own section of the military. I don't like the sound of that. Maybe it made me think of Nazi Germany and the cops that joined the Nazis as police and went and did all the ethnic cleansing. I didn't like the sound of it at all. But look, do what you can do. What can you do? I've gone over Professor Errett on this show, the mucusless diet. And it is phenomenal what he says about why we get mucus. It's a detox. Now, let me tell you what I did. I went to the hospital. I was really hungry, didn't eat all day. Chocolate rice cakes were there. Oh, I chowed the whole bag. I went down that bag like an aardvark. And it's like an odd mark. Then I ate all this hummus that someone had bought, or she had some organic carrots. I chowed into this whole thing of, I wasn't getting any sleep. And I think I even had a coffee. And I was in that ward. It smells, all those patients are having all those drugs and everything else. And I'm doing a detox now. I've got snot like you wouldn't believe. Oh, the snots. I've got snot on snot on snot, but it's a good thing. You don't swallow it, you blow your nose constantly. When you get, you know, that mucus buildup in your eyes, it's going to affect your eyesight, and your ears the same. If you get it in your throat, if it keeps going down, you get what's called consumption, which will just make your lungs just rot. Mucus is there as a detergent. So, you know, what Professor Errett, he wasn't a doctor, he was born in 1866, And he got really ill with Bright's disease, which is incurable inflammation of the kidneys. And they told him he was going to die. So he stopped eating, and his depression, he got better. Then he went and studied nutrition in Algiers and everywhere. He opened a sanitarium. He cured thousands and thousands of patients of every disease going. He went to lecture in America just before the First World War, couldn't get back because the war had broken out. And he was lecturing one night and he was found dead outside. They said it must have been his new shoes, new soles. He wasn't used to them. And, you know, wet floor, a bit slippy, a bit of oil. But no one saw him fall. Probably he was killed. And that's what most people think. Likely. So anyway, people do die falling, but lots of these people with these remedies die. But it's interesting what he talks about. When you take away all these foods that are mucus forming, and we're not talking about if you don't want to do it forever, but if you take away all your dairy, all your meat, all your grains, and you just have fresh fruits and vegetables, green leafy vegetables, no big fibrous things, cooked and raw, juices, smoothies, whatever, and you just do just that. Now, he talks about fasting, but you shouldn't fast if you're not used to it, because don't forget, all your toxins are going to be stored in your fat if your liver can't process them anymore. So go easy. You know, you could just fast by missing one meal. That's all, but drinking water. So, you know, build up to it, because fasting is not good if you've got cancer either, because it's like, taking annual leave when you've got no
money. You're not giving your body any ammunition to fight with.
Yeah.
You kind of cut off the supply lines.
Yeah, so Professor Owen's quite interesting, because he says it's actually just constipation.
Hmm.
The entire tube works.
I'm telling you, I'm convinced of that. When I watched, I told you that video about that doctor up in the gastrointestinal lady who had developed those things, and that's what she was getting at, was this. She was saying it a different way, but she was saying the same thing you were talking about, was the gut.
Yeah, everywhere gets constipated. And you know what? Yep. If you ask morticians and people, pathologists that do autopsies, they find over 10 pounds of undigested foodstuff and feces packed into the bowel.
That's just incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Capsules from drugs, they find the plastic capsules all in there. They find masses of parasites. That's my thing I'm going to tell you for New Year. When we get to January the 2nd, I want you to say to everybody when they go, you're coming out for pizza, you're coming from McDonald's, you're coming out for a beer, coming out for this. No, I've just said it's you, Tim Mavener. I'm in the army now, the natural nurse army. Today's the first day of the rest of my life. You're going to start every single morning on an empty stomach, on a whole bunch of celery juice. Just juice the entire thing. It's a herb. We're told the Lord gives us the herbs as our medicine.
That's right.
Yep. Get a celery juice down your neck. And, you know, you've got to look after. So if you've got any of these problems with your eyes, your ears, your nose, your throat, your lungs, you know, your digestive tract, start just thinking about doing like Dr. Gerson's foods, but don't have any dairy, any meat. Just give yourself even a month to detox, juicing just fruits and vegetables and eating fruits and vegetables. Just remember a good parasite cleanse. Everybody knows I love a dirty bag of crisps.
Not anymore. You're repulsed by those things.
Can't do it. You know what? I cannot do it. I can't do lots of things. So I don't touch sugar. I didn't for years, but I ate, last time I was like, walking the dogs, I ate just probably a little handful of those potato chips. My thumb hurts and my little finger, my joints. Your body will get so sensitive to it. When you eat something you shouldn't, it'll tell you. So what happens is your bacteria gets stuck in the joints and gives, you know, the waste. That's where you start to hurt. And this all stops. So that's what the mucusless diet, Professor Eric, we've talked about. So just to recap, New Zealand's greatest doctor, Ulrich Williams.
You have 30 seconds here.
Listen, paid nearly 400 quid for new specs. I can't read out of this side. They're going back. Not for two pairs. But, you know, he was a playboy. And then he said a voice shouted out, "Are you not ashamed of yourself?" He used to hurry up surgery so he could go out partying. When that voice said to me, "You're not ashamed of yourself," he opened his own kind of hospital units. He never used another drug, and he cured every single patient or got them to the point where they were able to go home comfortable.
Sorry
How amazing is that?
Yeah, so it's
We're gonna get Kate out.
I'll get the link and we'll put that in there. Kate, thank you so much for being with us, and get you some rest and take care of your daughter. Bradley, I'm hitting the wrong thing. I don't know what's going on there. Bradley, be with you. 3 p.m. See you Monday, 6 a.m. Lord willing. Adios.